Amen. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Aren't you grateful? That's a beautiful lyrics to that song. You know, I always wonder that one verse says, no matter or whatever you ask will not be denied. I always wonder, what does that mean exactly? But you know, when we ask in the name of the Lord and we ask according to God's will, his answer may be no. But his answer may be yes. And so I believe that means to pray according to the will of God. Pray according to his will. Well, I would like you to open your Bibles to two places tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then 1 Samuel chapter 25. We will be in 1 Samuel chapter 25 last and for the longest. But 1 Peter chapter 3 is a wonderful place for me to preface what I'm going to preach on tonight. Now, I was speaking with a couple of men about Mother's Day last Sunday, and we're just talking about different women in the Bible and different mothers. And then I was talking to Pastor Riley Featherstone about that as well. And the name Abigail came up, and haven't gotten that off my mind yet. And so we're going to talk about her tonight and what a godly woman she was. And she had a husband that was a mess. In fact, his name was Nabal, which literally means foolish, vile, and in some dictionaries, you can even find the word stupid as a definition to what the name Nabal meant. How would you like that for a name? So don't consider naming your son Nabal, but we're going to look at Abigail tonight, and we're going to look at something about her that was what is something that we can learn from, something that we can perhaps grow from understanding. So first of all, 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 8, the Bible says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Keep your tongue from evil. Let your lips that they speak no guile. Those are good words, aren't they? And Nabal is going to get himself in trouble and all of his family and all of the people that are with him. And we're going to learn a little bit about how Abigail saved. Maybe you know the story well, but how Abigail, through her godly character and through her courage, is able to thwart what is going to happen. So with the Lord's help this evening, I'd like to challenge and encourage both men and women with what we're going to look at with the message. I want to take some time this evening to look at a true heroine, if you will, a woman of true integrity and courage that made a difference when it mattered for the Lord, when it counted. And her reward is going to be found in the monument of her home and her family being spared and her life being honored by God. And of course, she, if you know the story, you know that she actually becomes the wife of David. So now in 1 Samuel chapter 25, for the sake of time, I would love to read the whole chapter. And in fact, I would encourage you to perhaps do just that in your Bible reading this week. Just read through this chapter. We'll read a lot of it, but we're not going to have time to read all of it. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding. Did I skip a verse here? Good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. So I sometimes, to my own detriment, I print the scripture in my notes in case I lose my place in the Bible. So I had a little footnote of what Nabal's name meant in the middle of that verse, and I'd already said that, so it threw me off a little bit. So Abigail was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Now, if you study this and consider the sacrificial thoughtfulness of self here, you will find that Abigail was not focused upon necessarily her physical appearance. I'm sure she was a lovely lady, but she was more focused on the right kind of character. She was more focused on being a woman of integrity, or her conversation. And as we know in Scripture, conversation refers to our walk with the Lord. And so she was concerned about that. And, you know, 1 Peter chapter 3, we didn't read these particular verses, but in verse 1 it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning or plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So this passage, there's so much, I really avoid the controversy because to me, there's no reason for it to exist. This passage is not forbidding women, of course, to do their hair or to even wear a makeup or jewelry. It's teaching that the area of the outward appearance, they're not to be the main focus. But instead, the woman focuses on her heart and her motives and her purpose and her ability to glorify God with who she is. So there are those that try to take this to the extreme, and there are those who would focus on the outward appearance and are contrary to what God would have them to be. But don't let anyone throw this in your face and say, you know, you can't have your hair done, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. There is a blessing here from God, and a power in that blessing as women submit to God, demonstrating the qualities that are mentioned here. You know, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So I'm pointing these scripture verses out so that you'll understand this is what we believe Abigail to be focused on. She obviously knew God. She obviously was learned in the things of the Lord, not her husband. So we know the word conversation to be in reference to our manner of life. It's about the way we live day in and day out, not only at church, but at home and in our community. The way that we live our lives, and I sort of referenced this morning, the way that we live our lives ought to be separate from the world, at least the way that the world lives. We ought to look different. We ought to be different. We ought to be separated from this world by God, for God, for his service. So there's some things as Christians that we ought to do differently. So the word chaste is used here. Innocent and modest would be the definition of that. And this would be a lifestyle that is governed by the word of God. It would be a demonstration of a life that is filled by the Holy Spirit. Meek and quiet spirit, for one. So Abigail was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Now, what does it say now about Nabal? Well, it uses the word churlish. He was a churlish man. The man was churlish and evil in his doings. Nabal was, and related to further down, he's actually called a man of Belial. And the word Belial means, in its simple definition, worthless. So there's not a lot of good things to be said about Nabal. He was not a believer in the things of God, cared nothing for them. He was about making money, and he had money. He was about enjoying the satisfactions of the flesh and the what prosperity afforded him. He cared about no one but himself. Are you picturing the type? You know, he just had no concern for other people. He was wealthy. He had lots of money. He had servants. He had lots of things. And he just didn't give two hoots about anybody else but himself. All he did was about getting what he wanted out of life. And he repelled against anything that would intrude upon him. Churlish means severe, cruel, hard-hearted, impudent, obstinate, stiff-necked, stubborn. There's nothing good to say about it. Those are terrible things. Nabal was a man who did his own thing without regard to God or others. So look now at verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let's continue on. "And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. In other words, David is saying, you know, your shepherds, we, you know, kept them safe. We worked well together. We were kind. And verse 8 says, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. So this is what they're supposed to tell Nabal. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants and to thy son David. So this is such an interesting study. You know, they get so many things right in culture. There's a lot of help. There was a lot of giving, and when there was an abundance, they really shared a lot of those things. It was a custom of that day. So this time of sheep shearing, it was a time of open-handed hospitality and helpfulness to others that would be in the area at the same time. And so David had the right to ask what he was asking. He had the right, honestly, to expect the hospitality of Nabal. This is what they did. In fact, if anything, Nabal should have offered first, because David and his workers and those that were there were really kind of protecting Nabal's people and really helping them. They functioned well together, and it was just a, you know, it was just a pleasant thing, and people helped each other out. David helped Nabal. Nabal benefited from David and his men being there. And David even points that out. You know, he points that out, that they had protected Nabal and his goods from the marauders that were in that area that were always a present danger and problem. While David kept them from loss and didn't take a single mutton burger from him, didn't take anything from him, he helped him. So it was common to expect it to be shared. So look now, verse 9. And anybody ever had a mutton burger, by the way? I don't think I had. Isn't that sheep or lamb? No? Okay, whew, that makes sure I get my animal right there. Verse 9. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? You know, you see what he's saying there, right? He's pretty smarty pants. He's just, what? Who is David? What are you talking about? Am I going to take the things? And he said, my. Did you hear that word a lot? My this, my that, my this. And I'm going to give it to you guys. I don't know where thence they be. Verse 12. So David's young men turned away and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, David is not happy. Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Nabal and all that pertains to Nabal are about to meet their death. And it's going to be sudden, and it's going to be harsh. David is highly offended and determined to deal hard and fast with the offense, and rightfully so. But look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. You imagine when she's hearing this, her heart at this point is sinking. She knows who David is, as did Nabal for that matter. Verse 15, but the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything. As long as we were conversant with them, we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial, he's worthless, that a man cannot speak to him. And then Abigail made haste. So here's where Abigail enters the picture, and we're going to look here in just a minute at some of the things that she's doing here. But Abigail is about to demonstrate some godly character and spirit and going to the aid of her family. She knew. In fact, as you read through this, As I encourage you to do this week, you will see that Abigail does have a heart for her family. She loves her family. She's interested in coming to the aid of her family, and she acts very courageously. She's going out as this sort of a self-appointed emissary, if you will, to a man that has proven, David, to be a strong warrior, a dangerous warrior that you didn't want to quarrel with, who she knew, in fact, to be quite angry. But she's on a mission to protect what God has given her as a wife and mother. Wives and mothers can claim the verses today that admonish all of God's people to be courageous, not to be afraid, not to fear. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Psalms 31 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So she acts wisely. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Can I just say, many of men have spouted off at the mouth and gotten themselves and their families in trouble. In fact, we could go through scripture and look at other instances. Abigail is not in any way acting inappropriately. She's not acting out of selfish purposes. She's not acting to get personal gain in the matter. She, again, is simply protecting what God has given her. And I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, she has a burden for her family. She loves her family. She loves her children. She loves what God has blessed her with. And she is protecting that. Wives, moms, you do have a responsibility to protect what God has given you and use what God has afforded you as a woman to stand behind your husband and watch over your home and children. And she acts with humility. She's really quite remarkable in what she is trying to spare her family and those, of course, that are in their household. You know, David was not coming just to take Nabal out. It was going to be, you know, everything that Nabal stood for, everything that he had, and everybody that worked for him. Verse 23 now. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Turn the page. Verse 25. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Sorry, that makes me chuckle. We know what his name means, right? She's essentially saying, wow, he's really nuts. He's just a foolish guy. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. You can see that she's essentially saying, I didn't know that they were coming. This would have been different. Now, verse 26, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. And she goes essentially on to ask forgiveness for what her husband had said. If you read and study all that Abigail says here in this passage, you're going to find that she has knowledge of God and the work that God is doing, not just in her life, but overall in Israel. She knew. She had knowledge of it, and she essentially rehearses those truths to David, and it's striking a chord with David. He's listening intently to what she has to say. And we know, of course, David has grown and learned a lot through everything that he's been through to this point. And he's listening. You know, she's not just humbling herself before David. Abigail is humbling herself before God. And we're told to do that in Scripture. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, that's a beautiful thing we're about to see in the life of Abigail. She humbled herself, and God indeed does exalt her in due time. So she is a model, if you will, for us to understand the importance of acting bravely, with courage, with wisdom, with knowledge of what we know about God's word. She acts without thought of self. She's not considering the danger to her own life or the cost that her actions could bring. She is wholly set on the protection of her family and her home, and she acts properly. You know, there is a great need for that kind of concern for families today. And yes, a responsibility does indeed fall on the husband's shoulders, but moms are really the captain of the ship at home. They're really running things when the husband's away, when the husband's working. And wives and mothers have a very important role in protecting their families. And there's lots of ways that the enemy sneaks into homes these days. Entertainment and television, different ways that the enemy sneaks in. And we need to understand, we need to be defensive and make sure that we're on attack mode when it comes to Satan's advances. You know, I've heard this illustration maybe a dozen times, but it's so true. A woman, a mother may be terrified of snakes, but you put a snake near that baby and that snake's going to wish it had never been born, because mama's going to take care of that snake to protect her baby. And these are the sort of the instincts that are kicking in with Abigail. It is proper for a mother and even a wife to protect what threatens her children, what threatens against what she has. And so she's demonstrating spiritual insight. And she's not the only woman in Scripture to do that, of course. There are many. I think of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And they had a wonderful part in raising Timothy and training him and teaching him. And I feel like I'm preaching a Mother's Day message all over again. But it's funny. I think, Richard, you were one of that we were talking. Was it you and I and maybe Peter we were talking about? Abigail, and it just came up to me, and I was studying this afternoon, and I'm thinking, you know, she really is a remarkable woman. How many of us would have the courage to go, if you're imagining the scene, a powerful king with a very dominant battle record who is coming to wipe out everything you have, to go and essentially stand in his way and ask to be heard? There's no limits on a woman being spiritual or growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there are certain positions for women in Scripture, but that is a position that is highly regarded of God. And that is a position that the world, of course, wants to ridicule. But it is not any lesser of importance in the scheme of things. She rescues her family. Look at verse 32. Now, this is after David has heard what she said. And I imagine when she hears these things, she may have a little bit of a sigh of relief. And David said to Abigail in verse 32, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by morning light any that pisseth against the wall." So David received of her hand that which she brought him. And said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." You know, I say to that, praise the Lord. Praise God. She was following the Lord. She knew the Lord. She used the wisdom that the Lord had given her to communicate what she had to protect her family. Nabal, on the other hand, seems to be oblivious or uncaring about the threat that he brought down upon his family. He had to have known, and yet he's just completely, you wonder if he had any regret. Oh man, I shouldn't have said that. I think they're going to come after me now. Well, look at verse 36 now. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house. Isn't that just like it? A feast, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. The offense was left in God's hands, and he took care of it. David did not have to take matters into his own hands. The wicked and vile Nabal was dealt with by God. Abigail demonstrates loyalty and faithfulness to her husband and her family, even though she probably had a rough time with Nabal's behavior and the type of man that he was. But in it all, God took care of Abigail and rewarded her faithfulness and rewarded her godliness. Look at verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail, to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be as a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord," still humble, still gracious. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. Isn't that neat? Isn't that, to me, it's a spectacular story. Because when we study the scriptures, when we see people who are using God's word and using their knowledge of God to please God and to choose, use the things you know about God to choose the way you're acting, God blesses it. He takes care of it. You know, David was even spared from reacting harshly, and God took care of it for him. You know, there is something about just trusting the Lord. There's something about just leaving it to him. How many times do we feel like we would like to perhaps avenge ourselves, or we'd like to stand up for ourselves, or at least try and defend ourselves in some way? And it's just as though God is saying, you know what? And he does say this, as a matter of fact, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And Nabal got what was coming to him, and it wasn't because of David. It was because God was in control of it. I thank God for godly women. I thank God for women like Abigail in Scripture. I thank God for men who see the need in all things to seek God first. And God will take care of you. That was I didn't pick that song particularly for that reason, but it rings true to what we're looking at tonight. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. And he certainly did that with Abigail. And I hope that we will look at her example and understand that when we put what we know about God into practice, that God blesses and God uses those things. And it's as though he's eager to hand out the blessings that come with obedience to him, just as Abigail was blessed and even David was blessed. And now she is elevated, exalted in a way to a position of wife of a king. And God uses her in a great and mighty way. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this example of your servant Abigail. She was courageous, and she was full of your wisdom. She was full of understanding of your ways, and so she followed you, Lord. And she did those things that would seem difficult and near impossible to the average person, but she was protecting what you had given her. And Lord, through her obedience and through her wisdom and through her good understanding, as you've used in your word, she was blessed of you. So Lord, may we be people who will learn from that example, that we will strive to be more like you, that we will strive to be more filled with your word and the knowledge of it, so that we may use the things that we know to make decisions that please you. Lord, we are to view our life through the grid of Scripture, and the only way that we do that is by learning more of the Scripture. So help us to do just that. Lord, I thank you for the day that we've had today in New Testament. Thank you for those that were able to come out. Thank you for those that are listening. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to use our church and bless our church. Be with Pastor McLean and Mrs. Debbie as they're with family. Pray that you would continue to strengthen them, give them wisdom and direction, Lord. We just ask for safety for them. Lord, we ask as this next week is coming up, Lord, that you would give us an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to someone who needs to hear it, to hand out a gospel tract, to encourage someone to turn to you. Lord, that's what we're about. We're ambassadors for you. So help us to be just that. We love you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.